Comedy Store Wrestling is brought to you by Pro-Am Belts. They make the coolest custom belts for any occasion you may have. We're in the middle of fantasy football season, so why not get yourself a custom belt instead of a little trophy? What is this, Little League? You want to be a champion. And these are the real deal. Real leather, heavy-duty plates, nothing like it out there. Follow them on Instagram at Pro-Am Belts. Make sure to use the promo code 10FF to get 10% off your custom belt today.
This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Evil Dos Eddie Torres. Sitting next to me is the ultimate inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother?
Take that fucking thing off. I'm good. I just met Dr. Britt Baker at the Grove, and I almost caused her to break her ankle. Oof. She was texting. I'm like, hey, you make AEW, and she fell off the curb. And like, I just think that would have been funny. All the wacky matches she's been in, injury-free, and she meets me at the Grove, and she breaks her ankle.
That's all it takes,
but
man.
She was very nice, so... thank you, Dr. Baker.
Yeah, there you go. You should have invited her to come over here to hang out.
I was too busy shopping, so we'll get her next time. I DM'd her already.
Oh, hello. I'm sure Adam Cole's stoked to hear that.
But I kept it classy. I'm like, hey, it's all good.
Well, this podcast now has an official sponsor, Pro-Am Belts. Check it out. Look how beautiful this thing is. It's a... up for grabs between Earl and John since they tied for the, I don't even remember the pay-per-view anymore. Extreme Rules! So we're going to try and figure out a tiebreaker. I brought this thing, but it may not happen.
If the fans send in an idea how we could, me and John could break the tie. If you have a funny idea, tweet it at us. What's our email?
ComedyStoreWrestling@gmail.com. Send us an email with suggestions.
Yes.
Hopefully before Crown Jewel. So, you know.
Yes. Well, because, you know, John is more familiar with the newer era of WWE and AEW, and I'm more an old school, you know, NWA and early WCW. So, you know, it's got to be a question that hopefully is fair to both of us. And then when we win the belt, it'll mean absolutely nothing.
It'll mean nothing. I mean, you get to take it home, walk around, show your dog. You know what I mean. I'm going to attempt to do this episode with this mask on because it is Halloween. Happy Halloween to all of you watching and listening. It is Monday, October 31st. Halloween time.
That mask, it looks ridiculous.
I know. I love it.
I mean, it looks.
But it does kind of match the Brody Lee t-shirt.
The claw.
By the way, I got my 7 t-shirts I ordered today from ProWrestlingTees.com.
And you wore a Motorhead shirt instead of one of your 7 shirts?
I paid full price, no discount, but Jay Lethal did mention me in his story because I got a Lethal Injection shirt.
So there it
is. Shout out to Ring of Honor legend Jay Lethal, who I hear is coming back. For one match only, has Black Machismo.
At AEW they're doing
it? No. Oh, okay. I think an indie show, a special indie show.
All right. Well, there is a lot of wrestling news. Also, you know, I guess I think what that was a attempt to get more sponsors. So Pro Wrestling Tees, Meth Syndicate, I know you're watching. What's the other shirt company?
I don't want Pro Wrestling Tees as a sponsor. How about... in the last 2 weeks, 12 to 15 wrestling t-shirts, full price.
Well, hey, you might get a bunch more for free. Who knows?
I've sold 7 Inappropriate Earl podcast shirts up on Pro Wrestling Tees in about 4 years. Ooh. So if they got a competitor, I'm all in.
Well, if you own a company and you want to be our sponsors, just hit us up. Email, comedystorewrestling@gmail.com. Anyway, my top stories today, I've got NXT. Halloween Havoc was pretty cool. I don't know if anybody watched it. Did you guys watch it?
I'm not going to lie to you. I did not.
I did. It was good.
It was good. It's watchable again. That's what that's the only thing I kept saying. Like, wow, this is watchable again, because it was pretty unwatchable for a while. It seems as though Nakamura might be more than just a one-off appearance, though, from what I've read online. I'm down for him to spend some time down there. They're not doing anything with him in the main roster right now. No?
I would like to see that. You know, he's a legend. And, you know, he's a name that I would be excited about seeing. You know, I'm not the most knowledgeable about some of the Japanese guys or girls. So, but that's a name. Oh, I know him. Like Okada. Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
So that might get me into watching NXT.
I mean, that would be a way to get the belt off of Braun so he can come up to the main roster. Give it to Nakamura. He's a legend and, you know, wouldn't lose to Braun. And then they could shove Braun onto the main roster. And then Nakamura can drop it to somebody else that is an up-and-comer down the road.
By the way, Braun looks bigger than usual.
He's getting ready. He's getting that main roster body going, you know?
But, I mean, he looks amazing.
How tall is he? Watching him at Halloween Havoc, I saw him compared to his two opponents. He looks small. He looks like he's going to be mid-carding after his debut.
I mean, he's definitely on the verge of mid-carding. Like,
he's 6 foot tall, 230 pounds.
So he's shorter than Cena. He's about as tall as most of the mid-carders.
Braun Strowman is shorter than Cena.
Not Braun Strowman, man.
Braun Breaker. We're talking about Steiner's kid right now. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that means he's my height, more or less. I'm 5'11 and some change, so I can kick his ass, right?
And that mask, it looks like you're going to spank his ass.
Yeah, what's up?
Looks
whips
tight.
And chains. Look, man, I really miss the original Evil Uno. This is why I'm a fan. This is why I'm wearing this mask. When he first debuted, I don't know if you remember this, in AEW, he came out with like 20 guys, and they formed a throne for him to sit on in the middle of the ring. This was the original Dark Order. It was just him and Stu Grayson. Then it became a comedy bit with a bunch of people, and it got, you know, it was still fun, but, you know, I miss Brody Lee, and I miss the old Evil Uno. One cool thing about NXT, tonight happened, Tuesday, The Rock's daughter debuted. She is now part of the Schism faction with Joe Gacy and the Grizzled Young Veterans. But yeah, The Rock's daughter is now officially in NXT.
I mean, hopefully she has a better shelf life than Brooke Hogan. You know.
How long before they push her up to the main roster and make her part of the bloodline?
Well, if Vince was in charge, I would say pretty soon.
Yeah.
But I think Triple H definitely has a more cerebral approach to booking and certain people coming up or down. So I actually think Triple H is doing an amazing job.
Yeah, he's killing
so
it right
far.
Now.
I would say she's up there by April if they want him for Mania.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or she takes the title from Roman.
Mania Rock appearance.
I mean, maybe she'll walk out with The Rock, maybe interfere in the match, give her a little street cred, something of that nature. So, you know, good for her. I mean, it's tough. You imagine you're trying to break into the wrestling business and you're The Rock's daughter or, you know, Ric Flair's kids. You know, none of them really had any major success. Same thing with Braun Breaker. You know, like, the Steiners are so iconic, and he's doing better. He has the best shot, I think, at becoming a breakout, you know, not star necessarily, but, you know.
He's got it, man. He's got the thing. Whatever that thing is that WWE looks for, he's got it. He's got the personality. He's got the charisma, the body shape, the talent, I guess. And he's not bad on the mic. I think he'll be a big star down the road for sure. But I think my point of bringing up NXT is just it's watchable again. Start watching it. It's fun. Triple H is trying to make it as interesting as possible, I think. Big news on the main roster. Nikki Cross is back. She's no longer Nikki, almost a superhero, which was horrible, horrible, horrible gimmick. But apparently it was her idea. I wanted to blame it on Vince, but it was all her idea.
Well, you shouldn't let newer talent come up with their own ideas. You know, you got to pay your dues a little bit. That was not a very good character. But that's someone who could benefit from good writers and, you know, a good storyline. So she's a very moldable person.
But here's what I'll say about the gimmick. I think she was smart enough to know that under Vince McMahon, their target audience was kids.
Yeah.
So pitching anything superhero, there was an opportunity for merch, which means like a cape, whatever her mask was. Like, she understood the business aspect of it. Entertainment-wise, terrible for adults.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get it. And Marvel's popular, and, you know, superhero movies are popular. I get the whole point. It's just, execution was off, I think.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah. And you know, her going back to her old gimmick is kind of cool. I don't know if it's fully her old gimmick, but she's kind of crazy. I like that more. Only problem is that, like, my wife watches on peripherally, and she was saying that Nikki just her old gimmick makes her look like she smells bad. So whatever. Hopefully we see more from that. Number three, Bray Wyatt is listed as the number one babyface internally. I thought he was going to be kind of a going back and forth, maybe a tweener. But apparently they've pushed Drew McIntyre down from the number one babyface spot, and it's now Bray Wyatt. What do you think about that? Do you think he should be a heel?
I always lean more towards heels. He's good enough where he could be a babyface and a heel. I just prefer him as a heel. But that speech he gave 2 weeks ago was pretty powerful. Has a
the one in the ring?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Has a baby face. You know, it was emotional. Like, you could see tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
So probably because he realizes how much money is in his bank account now. he really will need an IRS agent. But I just like the mean guys better.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see him turn eventually, which I'm sure they will do. But yeah. I'm not against a babyface run right now.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of money in his bank account, he is the number one merch seller, and there's only one shirt right now, and it's that moth shirt that I purchased myself. Doesn't even have his name on it.
I don't like it, to be honest with you. This is ridiculous trying to talk to him in this mask.
He looks like he just wants to spank your bottom.
I'm 54 years old. I feel like I'm talking to the Gimp from Pulp Fiction.
It's Halloween. Get in the spirit. What are you doing?
And what's with this fucking alligator on the desk? Throw it away.
Yeah.
You want to know what I think of this alligator?
Don't throw it. Don't throw it.
Guy, it cost him $1. He's worried I'm going to break
it.
I'll buy you 10 of them. But you'd think with WWE merchandising that they would come up with some amazing design. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's working. It's selling out.
Number one seller. I mean, I bought one. I like that it doesn't
that,
have
that. I'm not surprised at all. But I just bought 7 shirts, so I really have no room to talk.
I like that it doesn't have his name on it. I accept Brody's shirt because it's Brody and, you know, rest in peace and all that. But I typically like kind of subtle shirts. I don't like the fucking, like, Black Craft Cult with... Or what's the other one? Affliction all across the top.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with
you. I just don't like branding like that. Like, just an image, a logo is cool with me.
I do like this shirt, though.
Yeah.
But also, wait, does it have anything on the back neck? I hate that.
I don't know.
A lot of WWE merch now will just be the logo, and then on the back neck will say the wrestler's name, and I'm like,
I don't want that name on the back.
It's not a jersey. I don't want it on the back of my shirt.
Yeah. No, the Bray one doesn't have anything on the back. Neither does the Good Brothers one does have a bunch of text, which I'm kind of disappointed in. But whatever. I bought one. Who cares? But I'm excited. Did you catch the promo Bray did with on screen, though, after that speech in the ring?
He
did
yes.
one where he was talking about how he's going to do terrible things, and he's got a confession. And then there was also a glitch animation during SmackDown where we got a little taste of Uncle Howdy.
I hate that name.
Someone brought it up. You know, 6 characters of Bray Wyatt. He's a different one each week. I think it might have been you. That would be a cool idea. Like, you know, it might get a little confusing, you know, but I would love that.
But I hate the name Uncle Howdy. It sounds like a fucking pedophile.
Well, you know, get him into comedy.
Maybe.
I set him up there. I knew that was coming.
I didn't say anyone in particular.
I didn't say you did. I just...
I haven't said that name.
That was a layup.
Couple weeks.
Well, look, that might be the gimmick because the mask that he's wearing is similar to the mask in that movie Black Phone, which was kind of a pedophile-ish. Like, you know, he was trying to go after kids.
I assure you, WWE is not starting a pedophile storyline.
Who was the producer? Well,
here we go. Just say it.
No, I was going to say that name. I mean, I'm a big Pat Patterson fan. I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right. Next up, we got Finn versus Carl Anderson in a match, which is, to me, old school New Japan throwback. I love it. I was very excited and fully erect the entire time.
Oh, my God.
And then Rhea Ripley body slammed Gallows, which was very impressive. Very, very impressive. I like the way that they are building up Rhea right now. Like,
she's kind of like what you wanted, the China aspect.
Yeah, no, she's not quite as jacked as China, but she's definitely a big girl. And I do think it's like when we asked Zeta, like, and she even agreed with us, like, I do think you need that massive, not just weight-wise, but, like, dominant female, because she can become, like, the Brock Lesnar of female. I always think, that just generates a lot of interest when you have a freak show. Unfortunately, they're just not that many gigantic women around. I've dated half of them, and boy, I'm telling you. I'm pretty excited that she's kind of what I asked for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for them going, with all the changes that are coming, bring back that whole, not that we need intergender matches all the time or anything, but it would be really cool to see Rhea Ripley, take on like a smaller dude, like a, cruiserweight or, even like a, I think Carl Anderson's kind of small. I mean, if she could body slam Gallows, she can have a match with Carl Anderson. I would just like to see that. I don't need to see it all the time, but it'd be cool for her to like even do what China did, go after the IC belt or something,
But I agree with you, but the only problem is that in this new era we are living in, I just don't think you could have a man versus a woman in terms of the physical.
Equality, right? Don't we want equality? That's equality to me. Let them have a match.
I think it's interesting because I think I would disagree. I would say we can, simply because anybody who reports on a man hitting a woman and it being WWE would look so fucking stupid. Like, if Rolling Stone came out and did a story like, man hits woman on WWE Raw, it's laughable. I don't think it's that serious. Meanwhile, when you try to be not PC, but when you try to be progressive, I'm reading the comments on some of the AEW stuff, the stuff going on with Jade and Nyla.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read a comment section on any of those photos?
No, I stay away.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can only...
Oh, my God.
With you not even telling me what they are.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The least progressive wrestling fans. Nobody's going to object to a man versus a woman match.
See, I think they would. There's going to
yeah.
be...
You'll have... On like the fucking... What are those female blogs? The Seductress, like things like that would be like, oh, this is promoting violence against women, even if the women win. I get that. But in the mainstream world that isn't male or female, that's just like entertainment, nobody's going to take that seriously. It's WWE. China.
I think it would be, China looked like a dude, rest in peace. But like, so I think her going up against the dude was like, okay, she could probably take this guy. But I think if you had like, this may not be the greatest example. Who's the gigantic black dude, Strowman's?
Omos?
If you had Omos in a match against, say, Alexa Bliss.
That would be funny. I'd watch that.
We'd all watch it. No doubt about that. But, like, if he even remotely manhandled her, I just, you take a blogger, you said it perfectly, Rolling Stone, or some non-wrestling, Yahoo Sports. I don't think you could do it in this. It'd have to be such a humorous match. Doudrop against, the skinny, I don't know who the smallest male wrestler on the roster is right now.
What was that little dude that was with?
Drake Maverick. Oh, I don't think he's on the roster.
Reggie?
Reggie, yeah.
Yeah, he's tiny.
Reggie, what's his name who does all the flips?
Yeah, Reggie, right?
No, the other guy. Ricochet? Yeah, Ricochet, yeah.
But you had, like, Doudrop against Hornswoggle.
I mean, if WWE were smart, they would test the water by doing the intergender tag team matches and not make it women has to fight woman. Let's just see what happens. Like, I would see first of all, Dominic would get the shit beat out of him by Rhea Ripley. So I would see that match. I hope it leads towards that. But like Dominic and Rhea versus Alexa and someone else, let Ricochet versus Rhea, let them take it. Let them go at it. What's going to happen?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, there's other smaller indie organizations like GCW, which I did not write that down as a story, but apparently GCW, the extreme deathmatch organization that Jon Moxley was champion of, is starting to work with WWE. And like they're gonna put their library of shit in the WWE network. Brett Lauderdale, their CEO and founder, was at WWE and like posting pictures, and apparently he's really good friends with Stephanie. That was surprising to hear that GCW is gonna work with WWE. If that happens, GCW has intergender matches all the time. So who knows?
Well, I have a feeling WWE is gonna be a silent owner of that. Because I can't imagine WWE does not put it on their product if they're going to knowingly be a part of what they do over there.
I mean, there's ECW content in the network.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I mean,
who knows?
Listen, I was at XPW on Saturday.
Oh, boy, I saw some tweets about that.
Uh-oh. Wait, what happened?
Ooh, we may have to pull down one of our episodes.
Oh, no, what happened? Is it the clown?
I was saying, Earl, you were there.
I don't even know where to start.
Wait, like, the clown guy?
He had a match. Dirty Ron McDonald, Jasmine St. Clair came out and
did some things,
and then my.
I need details.
I don't want to get canceled. And then my buddy, who's the ref, they have two refs. He's like, dude, you're gonna love my. Match tonight, and he was it was Dirty Ron against starts with a P, Mexican wrestler who wears the paint, the clown, Pagano,
yeah.
And he, let's just say, the Mexican ref did a MAGA speech.
Oh no,
there's a MAGA faction.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, it's like, and Paul London was next to me.
Oh.
And when the ref started doing his MAGA speech, and I won't say the language he used, Paul London just was like, this is not good.
Yeah.
But
it's on Twitter. You can look it up. It's pretty rough, dude. I was like, oi,
but,
no.
But they have a woman in XPW who I think she was wrestling my friend Sage Sen. Very tall woman, like a bigger Rhea Ripley, and jacked. I'd keep my eye out on her. I'm going to try and get her name before we're done, but it was a fun night. And Vampiro returned. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, look, I'm not trying to defend it or anything, but like, it's wrestling. It's fake. And the dude that said all the MAGA shit is Mexican, and we know it's fake. It's just not gonna. It's not gonna be good for the optics. That's all I'm saying.
Let me ask you guys this: instead of an intergender match, what do you feel like Sonny Kiss, who's transgender? I mean, that's a tough one. Like,
so not intergender, but transgender matches. We can do
no,
that.
No. I mean, like, if you had Sonny Kiss versus, I don't know, Kenny Omega. I'm just throwing that out there. Like,
I'm down with that.
I don't know how I would feel about that.
I don't know how people would feel about it. I'd be fine with it, but I think women should wrestle men because that's equality. But
she's great, Sonny Kiss. Yeah. Like, in the few things AEW has done with her, but I don't know if I could see, you know, Wardlow or
power bombing.
I'd be like, ooh, boy, I don't know if this is cool.
Yeah.
I'm getting old.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm really interested in what happens with GCW and WWE. Last bit of drama here with the... I brought Carl Anderson and Gallows and Finn into the matter. New Japan is pretty furious with WWE, even though they were working together. They got mad because Carl Anderson was set to defend his never open weight title against Hikuleo at Autumn something, whatever the name of the pay-per-view is for Japan, same day as Crown Jewel. And unfortunately, travel restrictions and timing and everything, that he can't make both matches. So they are pretty mad. They Carl Anderson and Gallows did I don't know what you call it, a vlog or something on YouTube where they explained that New Japan never really booked through them, so the match is off. But the president of New Japan is pretty pissed off. That's all I gotta say.
Well, maybe they'll go back to AEW. Like, all right, hey guys, we fucked up.
We'll see.
We went with a bigger company. Let's bygones be bygones.
I mean, in the Vince McMahon day, I'd say he's saying fuck you, New Japan. Triple H, I think that's a market he wants. I think there's a good chance that Carl Anderson gets accidentally injured or injured in the storyline and ends up doing New Japan. And like, that's an opportunity where he gets injured in it. He's not cleared to wrestle for WWE, shows up to New Japan injured, loses there, so he doesn't lose any credibility and doesn't hurt his character in WWE. He's fighting injured, and then he comes back to WWE. But, I mean, I'd be shocked if Triple H this early on is going to fuck around with New Japan, especially if he wants to give a fuck you to AEW.
Yeah. No,
which
I hear you.
He definitely does.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. There is maybe also the opportunity of just throwing a bunch of money at New Japan, maybe sending some WWE talent instead that's not doing shit on the card over there just to kind of ease it up. Who knows? But you're right. You don't want to burn that bridge so soon when you're trying to make moves like that. We'll see what happens. I'm sure the boys will choose cash over New Japan though, because the boys do love their cash. Next up, Crown Jewel has added Omos versus Strowman, which I gotta say, after watching Omos and Strowman stand in front of each other, wow, Braun Strowman is looks small next to Omos.
I mean, Omos legit 7'4", and not skinny. Like, it's not like he was the old basketball player Manute Bol, who was 7'5", right, but literally 190 pounds. I mean, it's two big guys. Probably going to be a pretty slow and power move match.
Oh yeah, I say four moves pops.
I mean, this is going
to
make.
Okay, wait. This can't be the deal breaker, but this has to be on the betting card.
Oh.
Will there be a ring collapse?
Oh, boy.
At some point.
Hmm.
I mean, they're not headlining, so I would vote no, but it's impossible to not do a ring collapse with these two.
I mean, you know, this is going to make Sid against Vader seem like the Young Bucks against the Republic of Lucha. I mean, it's cool to see guys this size in the ring, especially Omos. I mean, there's not many guys outside of Satnam Singh who are that size.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be fun no matter what just because of their size. And they might. Has there been a Saudi Arabia match where they go into the crowd at all?
Not that I've.
Definitely not a female match.
No, the females are barely allowed into the ring. So.
Well, I mean, here's my only concern is these guys are so big. I don't see either one being able to pull their power moves on the other. I mean, how are you going to power bomb Omos? Or, like, dude, that's like as strong as Strowman is, and vice versa. You know, I don't know how Omos is going to power bomb Strowman. So this could be a botchamania match.
It could be very botchy.
Yeah.
I just can't see these two on the same page.
The Saudi Arabia pay per views are Vince McMahon's wet dream, because all the Saudis want is to see the freaks, the historical, like, never before seen, this guy versus this guy, two giants, Logan Paul, Roman Reigns, like, just piling them together. That's all that Saudi Arabia is paying for. So nobody gives a shit if they wrestle. They could go into the ring and the ring collapses. Everyone's going to scream, this is awesome, because they've never seen it before.
Yeah.
But like Logan Paul and Reigns, I could see, okay, same size. They're both pretty nimble. I just don't see Omos and Strowman strategizing in the back. Okay, I'm going to do the power bomb, and then you do the razor's edge.
The razor's edge, my God.
Or whatever they call it now. I could just see both guys looking at each other going, hey man, let's just try some things, and whatever works, you know, I'll put you over at the end of the night.
The way that Omos shoved Braun out of the ring though kind of pissed me off, because like, you're trying to make this monster versus monster thing, but he just pushed him like a kid out of the ring completely.
But he's probably so, you know, we talked about Satnam Singh, you know, when my friend in AEW was like, the dude doesn't know his own strength.
Yeah,
I would imagine that he's maybe even worse. Because he's actually wrestling a little bit. So to him going like this to someone, you know, is normal to him.
And I'm sure Strowman's never felt that before, because most people are smaller than him. So he's never felt that kind of power to push him out. I don't know. The reason I asked if anybody's wrestled out of the ring is because I feel like that's a good way to have an impactful match with those two. Just have it be outside. Have them smash through the barricade and go into the crowd and slam into the
stage. Oh, that's going to happen. They're not going to go into the crowd, but they'll be at ringside destroying all the furniture for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if this was the match. I'm going to guess this is third to last. It's going to be this, then a female match, and then Roman and Logan.
I mean, I think you're going to have some outside interference in the Strowman match, because you got to have someone do the actual moves. Like maybe Ziggler comes in or someone like that who they could bounce around.
The fuck is Ziggler going to do against you guys?
No, I'm saying he takes the bumps.
It could be like the Pong ball in the game of Pong.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait. So I know we'll talk about this more next week when we record the pre-Crown Jewel episode. I'm just curious. Omos has just returned from, I guess, I wouldn't say a repackage, but he's been gone for a while. Braun just got brought back. Is there any other outcome than a double DQ or a double count out or something? Like, who do you put over?
Yeah, I mean, if they put anybody over, it's Omos because of the size only.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. I really don't know.
Is Braun feuding with anybody else right now that could come out and interfere?
He's on the same trajectory as Omos, or just coming out and squashing people.
Jesus Christ.
Like the local talent, so...
I mean, it's tough. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm sure when Strowman came back, he had a, hey, man, I'll come back, but I'm not going to job out my first match or first feud.
Yeah.
You know, I think I would say they would put over Strowman because I think it's a better storyline, the smaller, smaller in this storyline. Yeah, yeah. You know, he goes over and then Omos loses his mind and, you know, really starts beating up people. I think if you job out, more or less Strowman, it's kind of like, okay, why did I come back?
Yeah. Yep.
I would say Strowman takes him up to the back for a little bit for about 10 seconds and then runs into the ring and gets the count out because Strowman can run almost is useless.
Yeah, he's a choo-choo train.
I don't see any value in almost at all.
Yeah.
Definitely. It would be fun to see him in a ladder match, but that's about it. I don't think his legs could handle a ladder match.
I don't think the ladder could handle him.
Yeah.
But that would be great. Like, you never know. Like, if you look at one of the great WrestleMania matches of all time is Hogan and Warrior.
Yeah.
Which, before that match, if you said, hey, these two guys are going to have a good match, you'd be like, you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, but they're not that big. They're not as big as...
No, but I mean, like, oh, 100% they're not as big as those guys. But, like, you know, it is possible. I don't know who the... mentor backstage is, but whoever is guiding this match could make it a good match.
Yeah. We'll see. They also added Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross in a steel cage.
Oh my god, enough with both of them.
Yeah, I'm not, this feud has cooled off for me after the strap match. I was done. I didn't really need that car accident random backstage attack from Drew McIntyre. I don't really care. I get why they're kind of extending this as much as they can because what, you know, Cross needs to go for a title, but which title, and can't put him in with Roman yet. So I get what they're doing. It's just, I'm over it. I don't really care. This is probably going to be my pee break match. Who knows? Unless they add a women's match. All right.
And I'm the sexist. Unless Doudrop is in this match, I'm gone.
Now, it saddens me to say that my AEW news isn't really about storylines or anything that's going on in-ring at that much. There hasn't been any surprises, debuts, returns, or anything like that have been shocking or exciting. Most of the stuff is all backstage stuff. So, I mean, according to Wade Keller and Dave Meltzer, Tony Khan apparently is siding with the Bucks and Kenny on this whole ordeal. They have fired Ace Steele, so he's gone. And the word is that they're trying to buy out CM Punk from his contract. And the only thing that's holding it up is the non-compete, because apparently WWE has some interest in bringing Punk back. So they're trying to figure out the non-compete situation and eventually just give Punk a bunch of money to not come to work, which is, I guess, living the dream. I don't know.
I mean, this is a tough one. I actually feel bad for Tony Khan. Because whatever he does, you're going to piss off 50% of the people. I mean, if you let him go, you know that first speech on Monday Night Raw is going to be a pipe bomb of all pipe bombs. I could see Triple H saying, hey, we don't like each other, but this is a good thing for both of us. We'll give you the first half hour in Raw, and you just say whatever you want. He's going to shit on Tony Khan, AEW, Omega, the Bucks. The Hangman Page.
WWE. Sure. He's going to shit on WWE.
But I think he'll 90% of the pipe bomb will be geared towards AEW. He might say something bad about Triple H or
Vince.
But like I think the other smart thing is AEW keeps them, which is risky because you have a locker room. We all know people in AEW. Every single one of them, at least from my perspective, has told me he's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes him.
Nobody wants him back there.
But
man,
you make money off this. And tell me,
who makes money off this?
I think
the AEW superstars don't need to like him because they don't make money off of it.
I think if you have a, I'm sure at some point AEW wants to have their WrestleMania. Like right now, they just have a bunch of pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But they want that one pay-per-view that everyone talks about. And you have Moxley and MJF, and then you have Omega and Punk. Like, those two pretty good. That could give them some momentum. And make money. I mean, these guys don't like each other. Make money off
it. I would agree, but what I would do is I would find a way to convince CM Punk it's not a demotion and let him be the face of ROH where he started, especially if they're getting a TV deal. Let him, not Jericho, be the face of ROH. Move whatever that guy, Colt Cabana, over to AEW, who's sort of gotten the shaft because, allegedly because of CM Punk, but not, I guess not really. Move him to AEW where all the fans want him and appreciate him. He'll probably be way over now. But let CM Punk build up ROH, and then you have your WrestleMania where it's best of both worlds, and you could have the champion versus champion match, or just a regular CM Punk versus Hangman, or CM Punk versus Omega. But you send him, I don't want him in WWE. He's clearly a toxic trash person.
Yeah.
WWE's on the right path right now. He's going to come in and take a spot from somebody who's been busting their ass through all of this. And I wouldn't want him to burn.
That's
what
the business of wrestling.
But I don't think he's going to bring over anybody who wants a CM Punk shirt. They're buying it right now anyway. They're not buying another one when he comes back to WWE.
I think they would. I think it'd be a short-term burst. Oh my God, he's back in WWE. Him and Triple H hate each other, but they're working. You know, they're buried the hatchet or whatever. I see both sides. I see both scenarios working out. I think that.
If they bring him back, they could put him in an angle with Triple H.
Yeah, that was my thought. You make him the Steve Austin of this era, but he's too old. Yeah. He's not good in the ring anymore. I think that's my biggest concern. He's injury prone, and he's also just not good in the ring. So you have good mic skills, but that's not going to be enough anymore.
No, yeah. Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
it's a weird business deal to bring him on because they had the opportunity when he was doing the FX one stuff, the FS1 stuff, the Fox Sports, WWE, whatever. They didn't do it. They see what he did to the AEW. The whole place is in chaos.
Yeah.
Cody, I don't think wants anything to do with CM Punk. I'm sure he's not saying great things. I don't see him coming back to WWE. That would be a shocker of all shockers.
I think it's 50-50. I think it. Obviously, the ball's in Tony Khan's court. You know, I think even Steven. I think here is where Regal and Jericho earn their money as mentors, and they take Tony Khan in a room, and they say, hey, these are the pros of keeping him. Everyone hates him, but that Omega feud would be fire. Or we let him go to the WWE, and this is what he's going to do. He's going to talk bad about everyone in this room, the Young Bucks, Omega. So do you want that? Because that will definitely give WWE some heat, good heat.
Here's another question: Do they redo the video game box?
Oh shit, that's right.
That's what I'm curious about. That's not going to be cheap.
The game.
Yeah. Oof. Well, they probably won't get him out of the game. WWE has kept released and wrestlers that have left, but to put him on the cover when Kenny Omega's like always been the video game guy to have CM Punk on the cover after all this shit and then you get rid of him. Oh, that's going to be an expensive reprint.
I mean, there's so many good scenarios. It's great for fans because I could see if he goes to WWE, I could see MJF bringing out Colt Cabana and like setting him up for like some angle. That would be hilarious.
Yeah. I would just hate to see him go back to WWE and end up getting wins over fucking Seth Rollins, who should be champion next. He should be next in line to be champion. This guy has had so many persona changes and fucking carried the audience and carried the show every time Roman's not there.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk comes in, the first casualty, Seth Rollins. After Seth Rollins, it becomes Brock Lesnar. after, like, that's what's going to happen. Everybody that's been there this whole time, CM Punk's going to come in and just trample over them. It's not going to be a good situation.
I mean, it's really a great time to be a fan. Like, it's been a long time since we've been like, hey, will he go over there and start with Bray Wyatt? Maybe he's going to AEW. And like, so I love it. Like, and it'll push either side. If he goes to WWE, AEW will step it up in some capacity. Like, hey, we got to, you know,
we're bring in Paige. Let Paige wrestle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I almost killed Dr. Britt Baker at the Grove tonight, so sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly have never been a fan of Punk, and I've never minced words about it. On every podcast I've ever been on, I've said it. I hope he goes away, but I'm also intrigued by the drama. Like, what's going to happen? Where's he going to go? I'm with you, John. I just don't want to see him take anybody's spots in any company. I want him to go away, but for the sake of the fans, I'm interested in the drama and the what's going to happen aspect of it.
For the record, although I've shared my opinions on the idea of him going to WWE, I'm still firmly behind the fact that this is a work. Just throwing that out there.
I don't think it is.
I don't think he's leaving. I think he will be back in AEW. I think he will be feuding with Kenny Omega. I think the whole thing is blown over, and I think most of the trouble probably came from Ace Steel. I think it's a work.
All right. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, you still think Cody's a work and he's still missing. So yeah,
that is true. And I'm not going to back off that. Wait, I have a question. I missed the Nikki A.S.H. segment. Were they trying to go for her looking like Paige? Like sort of an attack? Nikki A.S.H. showed up looking like Paige. She had like the bedazzled leather jacket
and the leather pants.
The straight hair. I was like, oh, this looks like a shot at AEW. Like, we've replaced Paige.
But they need to get Saraya into a good feud ASAP because, you know, the shine is off now. Like, yeah. Okay, we had a couple good weeks. And now, because it's weird. To me, she's not like great on the mic. She's good. But.
She was great in the ring, but like her feud right now is with Paralysis. There's no chance that she wrestles. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, but you know these guys and girls, they want the limelight of a match and the pop. You know, I mean, look at Daniel Bryan. He probably shouldn't be, or Bryan Danielson, whatever you want to call him. He probably shouldn't be wrestling anymore.
What I'll say is he was cleared in WWE, which is a way stricter protocol than anywhere else. That's why wrestlers constantly threaten to leave if they're not cleared in WWE. WWE is very strict. So for him and Edge and a few others to be cleared, I'm comfortable with them wrestling. For Paige to say, well, they're not clearing me here, I'm leaving, it's going to look bad if something happens to her in AEW. There's no coming back. Like, Tony Khan is done. Yeah. Like, everybody's going to go, like, yeah, obviously she shouldn't have been wrestling.
Well, there was a great, and I want to get this guy's YouTube channel because he's a doctor who was analyzing the Hangman Page injury and how AEW treated it, and it was so fascinating because he said it could have been handled a lot better because he does like a slow motion look at the injury, and then the first guy who jumped in, who's probably AEW's main physician. And at one point the guy took his hands off of Paige's head, and you see Paige's head just kind of like dangling, and the doctor's like, that should never happen. He should have cradled his head. And so yeah, I agree with you. I mean, obviously WWE probably has better everything. Yeah. Doctors, promotional people, fireworks.
Yeah.
So you know, yeah, Tony, I mean, AEW would be done if she gets injured, or anyone, and it's deemed their fault.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, though, I think in order for her to even get physical in the ring like she did with Britt Baker, she has to be cleared. Like, I think there's a legal reason, like, there's a legal issue there if she were to get physical and she's not cleared. So the fact that she got physical leads me to think that she is cleared to wrestle. Whether it's a good idea or not, who knows, but I think she is cleared to wrestle. Otherwise, she wouldn't even have laid a hand on Britt Baker.
I think she's AEW cleared. I don't think she's AEW cleared. I don't think she's WWE cleared. That's
you're
going
to definitely have to put her in there with the safest female worker, which I don't know who that is.
Yeah, there's nobody in AEW that's safe. No. How many people are injured right now?
But I'll assume Britt Baker is probably deemed the safest worker. I mean, she seems to be the one that's always getting hurt, you know, her nose. and I don't know if I would put her in there, you know, with some of the younger talent, just because, you know, one false move on a neck and you're donezo.
Yeah.
I'd say Ruby Soho. She needs to fight smaller people that aren't going to manhandle her. I would never put her in with Nyla Rose.
Oh, my God.
Or, like, not for any trans reason. Like, I wouldn't put her in with Nia Jax either. They're just the bigger people don't realize how strong they are.
I mean, one botch.
Yeah. I mean,
get her in there against Awesome Kong. Bring her back.
Yeah, there's just a lot of reasons that she can't fight people bigger than her, because she'll get one rag doll where her neck snaps the wrong way. She's done.
Yep, hits the rope the wrong way.
Yeah,
a whiplash. You know, which is would be hitting the rope the wrong way. You definitely have to trust your opponent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all I have really for AEW. Like I said, it's kind of sad. I'm not a hater of AEW in any way, as obviously I'm dressed as one of their freaking stars, but there isn't really much that exciting going on. The big stars are missing. What's the next pay-per-view? Full Gear, which is MJF and Mox, is the only match that's been announced for that.
Well, they're kind of wasting, like, I don't know what's going on with Wardlow and Samoa Joe. Like,
War Joe.
They're singles guys. What are you doing? I just don't understand that. Like, I'd be down for them wrestling each other.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So I don't. It's and Sean Spears is back, so maybe he gets involved somehow.
It's just I think Tony likes the weird mashup words like Hookhausen and Beardhausen, and now this with like War Joe. Like, we get it. It sounds funny. It's cute, but like as a one-off, maybe like don't make like you said. They should be single stars defending their singles championships. I don't understand why they're a team in any way.
Well, if you look at the most popular shirts in the crowd, this is not like an in-depth, thorough study. It's CM Punk. I mean, there's a million of those shirts.
Yeah.
Danhausen, just because, and I'd like to. I brought this up. I'd like to see him wrestle more. Instead of just the humor spots.
Oh, there's news. He's been teasing on social media an evil turn. He's always very good, very nice, very evil. He's been posting a lot of pictures of like when he was in the Indies, where his makeup was a little more smeared and he was evil, like, and more jacked. So who knows? I think it might be coming.
I mean, I met him at the Flair roast, and he's not that small. Like on TV, he looks tiny, but like he was maybe an inch shorter than me. I mean, like, he's a pretty big dude. So, and Orange Cassidy, I do like the belt on him.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good match.
I hate his fucking book bag.
The book bag?
Hate it. I get it. It falls in with what he's doing. But when he came out with the book bag, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
But he sells it, man. Like,
he does.
He really is. I love the little kids in the crowd who are dressed like him, and they're just, they...
Yeah, he does the high five.
He gives him the high five, and that Filipino Orange Cassidy in the crowd. Like, I'm glad they put a belt on him, because he's pretty over right now.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited for them to get their wings back and, get their Kenny and their Bucks and their Thunder Rosa. Like, all the big stars are kind of like missing, and maybe get their shit together when it comes to championships, because there's way too many. Get that ROH TV thing going. Like, we just need to see some movement from AEW, because all my attention is going to WWE, and I'm still watching Dynamite and Rampage, but there's just nothing that kind of pops for me to like, ooh, let's talk about that this week.
Well, there just seems to be a confusion of what do we do now with Ring of Honor. We got to get that. We got to give them some TV time on AEW's dime. But that's taken away, the main complaint from AEW guys. And I heard one guy who was in AEW and now is in XPW. I said, how'd you like it over there? He's like, shit, man, they got 800 people on that roster. Why the hell would I go back there? and I was like, because this guy's been in a few matches for them. And, I just think you're stretched thin enough on TV time. So now you got to kind of do the Ring of Honor guys, and even Jay Lethal's kind of going back and forth with his affiliation with Ring of Honor. But then he'll do a match, against Wardlow. So it's like, well, is he Ring of Honor or is he AEW? Like, we're wasting valuable TV time here.
Yeah.
That's actually what I know. One thing I noticed during Halloween Havoc and was it Halloween Havoc? Yeah. Not Halloween Havoc. Having some of the vets there the week before, it reminded me of AEW just being too stacked. And like you said with Nakamura, this is a good opportunity to take people that aren't getting TV time on Monday and Friday and putting them on NBC, like on USA, making your NBC affiliate happy. But they're WWE's running into that problem because they keep bringing up some NXT guys and they're not doing anything with their current roster, which is pretty stacked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm excited for the Miz feud that's happening right now. I think that's going to be fun. But yeah, where do they go after that?
I mean, at least WWE has the extra hour of, No, 5 hours.
Yeah.
And AEW is only 3 hours. So at least they got those extra 2 hours to.
Well, they have 6 hours, including NXT, but five hours of main roster.
Yeah. They need more TV time for sure. All right, now it is Halloween, so my topic for this week is Halloween, and my number one question here was, what is the best costume worn by a wrestler on screen for you? For me, I'm going to go with Xavier Woods and the New Day dressing up like Final Fantasy characters of that one WrestleMania, just because I'm a huge nerd and I love Final Fantasy and I love that. So that's my pick. How about you?
I'm going to go with RoboCop, dressing up as RoboCop, which is maybe the most ridiculous, I don't even want to say sketch, but idea, thinking that, you know, RoboCop literally moves at a glacier-like pace, and so the Four Horsemen, if you ever watch that sketch or match again, you'll see the Horsemen have to improv until RoboCop can come down the walkway because he's taking like 20 minutes. So does that count?
Yeah, sure.
RoboCop was a wrestler that night.
Yeah, that's true.
Sting's tag team partner.
How about you, John?
Okay, I hate it because of the blackface, but it's also my favorite. It's DX as Nation of Domination.
Oh, I thought you meant Piper.
Oh. The half blackface.
X-Pac in blackface was the only deterrent. Wait, was it more than X-Pac? X-Pac, did someone play D-Lo? No, everything else was fine. I think it was just X-Pac. Oh, no. It looks like Road Dogg may have done some bad stuff, too.
Well, if you...
It's still one of the funniest dress-up costume segments, I think, on Raw.
I think Piper and half blackface might be even more ridiculous than RoboCop. Like, and if you ever see shoot interviews with Bad News Brown, who was like a pretty militant black guy, he was like, yeah, man, I wasn't really down with that idea. Like, he was a legit judo expert in the 76 Olympics, so he probably could have kicked Piper's ass.
Oh, for sure. A special shout-out to AEW, to the Elite, for dressing up like they've done the Ghostbusters and they've done the Toon Squad. I thought the Toon Squad was pretty fun when they came out as the Looney Tunes for Space Jam or whatever that they did. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember the Ghostbusters. That was pretty funny.
That was funny. I like that. All right, next up, what is the scariest gimmick? And I mean, like, scariest in terms of horror or in terms of like you feel that wrestler is a legitimate crazy person or, you know, scary. For me, honestly, I'm going to go with early Bray Wyatt. I know the standard would be the Fiend. Everybody thinks the Fiend is the scariest. I like the Fiend, but his early like swamp days with the cult, to me that was scary because it felt real. Because I was living in Homestead at the time in Florida, which that's the kind of people that hang out in Homestead, Florida. So I was actually like legitimately terrified by that character for a while.
I mean, for me, it's a tie for me. Like I'm having a hard time. I'll shorten one up. Early Sid.
Ooh, not Psycho Sid?
Yeah, not Lord Humongous, but like...
and not Sid Justice.
But like Psycho Sid when he's botching his promos and... You know, you literally thought this guy's unhinged.
Yeah.
Like he could walk into the crowd at any second and start killing people. Like when he turned bad guy against Shawn Michaels, and you know he kind of botched a few lines. He's like, he's really gonna kill Shawn Michaels, and he botched. I've heard a theory that Shawn Michaels botched the power bomb on purpose to make Sid look weak, but then Sid just picked him up again and power bombed him perfectly.
Yeah.
And you guys are gonna think I'm just doing this because I do it a lot. the earliest version of Kamala, when he was literally filmed on, I think, Jim Crockett's ranch in the jungles. Like, he really thought he was... Like, you know, they showed early shots of him walking to the ring, and kids were crying because they thought he was going to jump into the crowd and he was a cannibal or something. So, not the humorous one you saw him, like, beating off to a diva his last appearance on Raw. Not that shit. Do you remember that? Yeah. When they had some big-titted diva and a silhouette of Kamala, like, they didn't show him jacking off, but, like,
yeah,
they definitely showed his left arm motioning.
Yeah. How about you, John?
Okay, mine is stupid, but keep in mind I was a kid.
Okay.
Nails.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I thought that, I was like, they let him out of jail and he's going to be allowed to fight people. Yeah. I was terrified. And he wasn't a scary gimmick. Like, I guess my second place would be Papa Shango. But
Papa Shango was spooky.
Yeah, but I just thought a prisoner was allowed to fight people. It was terrifying to me as a kid. Now I look back, I'm like, this is a great gimmick, but it was terrifying as a kid.
Well, plus, he also legitimately, you know, I often talk about the Ultimate Warrior kind of being the only one to step up to Vince McMahon and go, hey, I want more money or I'm not coming out of the curtain. Nails went after Vince McMahon.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was a legit fight. You know, it's one of those things, it's like the Bruiser Brody thing. One guy says this, another guy says that. You know, but I've heard a few people and shoot interviews on YouTube say Nails like grabbed him by the collar, and I forget the beef. I don't know if it was over money or an angle, but let's just say he was released the next day. But that's kind of ballsy to go up to a prime Vince McMahon,
yeah,
and be like, "Fuck you, man."
Yeah,
because we saw early 2000s Vince, and he was fucking jacked.
Yeah. But Nails wasn't exactly tiny.
Oh, no. But I mean, you would see Vince McMahon in the early 2000s. You imagine in the 90s, he would have put up a good fight, too.
But that would be like me going up to Peter Shore hey, motherfucker, I want more spots.
Yeah.
And going after him. I think I'd be calling the Laugh Factory for Vails the next day.
Peter Shore is a Vince McMahon type. I will say that.
He's intimidating. Like, I don't know if he listens to this or not.
I'm going to guess no.
I'll assume he doesn't, but he might. Yeah. And you know, I saw him the other night in the parking lot, and he got like a Godfather type vibe of like, hey, whatever, if you want me to stop talking about certain people, no problem.
Yeah, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. I would say another runner-up is Isaac Yankem. That guy fucking terrified me.
Yeah, the teeth.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Isaac Yankem.
Oh, yeah.
The dentist.
Yeah, Boogeyman, too. Shout out to
Boogeyman.
Boogeyman was more gross.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this qualifies as a gimmick, but it's definitely one of the scariest moments I've ever seen. It's when Mae Young gave birth to a hand.
I thought you were going to bring up when, Kane that was trying to bang a dead body?
Oh, yeah, Katie Vick.
My goodness.
Wait, I have one more thing. So while we're on Halloween Havoc, so this was the other thing that reminded me of AEW. So when you watch Halloween, I watched the replay of Halloween Havoc. Right after that, it says, would you like to watch previous episodes, which is to them, that just means previous Halloween Havocs from the years. And they were going back to the 90s, WCW. And I watched it and I'm like, WCW is exactly the AEW problem in that they had too many big names. Like the main event of the one I watched, was it 97? It was like Hulk versus Piper. And the mid-card match was Nash versus Hall.
Yeah.
Like the outsiders were fighting each other in the middle of the card where like, right. If they were all here today, Nash and Hall would be the main event.
Yep.
And AEW is going down the exact same path as WCW. Let's just take WWE's guys and we're going to devalue them because some of the best ones are going to be in the middle of the card.
Well, I will say maybe the worst Halloween Havoc match ever. And it pains me to say this, was when they brought Warrior back to fight Hogan. Because it was clearly Hogan just wanting to win back.
Yeah.
And it was like I thought it would have been such a better idea if you had Warrior beat him again. And the storyline is Hogan's constantly chasing to beat this guy, and it consumes him. And he could have had a nice storyline, you know, and then he gets his win eventually. But when Hogan throws the fireball in Warrior's face. You could tell that he lit it too soon or something. And he burned his hand. And he's like, ah!
And in 25 years, they have not fucking mastered this fireball. It needs to stop. Every time they use it, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
Moxley, Scarlett, and Drew a few weeks ago. Like, enough with the fireball. You're never going to get it right.
I saw it this weekend.
Oh, no.
The Sage Sin, and man, I'm sorry to the wrestler she was wrestling, because the tall girl, they had this thing where they were hitting each other over the head with pumpkins.
Oh no.
And then the last one, the girl Sage was wrestling had a fireball. I don't know what she blew into, but it came out of the pumpkin's mouth and it was perfect. It stopped, because I was at the angle where I saw it, it stopped just short of her face. So it didn't hurt her, and she sold it like her face was on fire. And it was a great, like, I don't, you know, XPW is not known for their safety.
Because it was probably a legitimate fireball.
Yeah.
But to get it through the pumpkin's mouth, which, you know, it's a standard pumpkin
snaggle
tooth. Yeah, jack-o'-lantern. Like, it kind of looked like that. But it was perfect, man. So I finally... I would never think that XPW would be the only company to do a proper fireball, but they did it Saturday.
I would have thought they would be the first company. If it's something that could kill someone, they know how to do it right.
Well, I mean, I went backstage because I saw these, you know, the ring boys are all wrestlers. And so,
yeah.
And they were making the weapons. And I thought, oh, this is where they gimmick them up, like put, you know, soft tips over the barbed wire. And everything I touched was real. It was real barbed wire.
Wow.
They had this thing. It's probably a table about that length, and they had cans glued to the table, and the guy was cutting the cans in half. So the sharpest edges were...
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
So they put the table, and I think it was a female match. They threw a girl into the... I think it was Mickey Knuckles, who's like 250, 260... Right, like her back goes right into the cans, and like, it was crazy.
With that mask on, it looks like Eddie's jerking off to this.
Out of control.
Eddie, one more thing. Halloween Havoc, did they botch a camera angle for a pin? I think they missed a pin, and I was like, this is very AEW too.
Yeah.
The camera guy missed the pin.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Well, I thought I saw that last week on Dynamite. I forget the match, but the guy... It was Rick Knox was the ref, you know, the taller, bald guy. He clearly counted three. And Shivani was like, that's a two count. And the camera was literally right on Rick Knox. So, they covered it. They just didn't address it.
Like, yeah.
He's clearly going three. And then you could see the guy who was getting pinned go, are we done?
Well, this thing in Havoc was they just completely missed the pin shot.
The bell rang and the camera was like shaking.
Hopefully someone got fired.
I don't think that's a fireable offense. Shit happens, but it just, when you see something, you're like, I watched 15 minutes of a match and missed the ending of it.
The most important part.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in NXT, WWE, it is a fireable offense. Like Tony Khan would be like, what's the big deal? We just missed the pin.
Yeah. Well, all right, and then finally, the worst Halloween tie-in. I actually have two for this, number one being the one that hurt me the most internally. And thankfully, the match didn't happen. It was Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor for a Halloween match, and they had Finn Balor bring out the demon, but they made him the Pumpkin King. I don't know if you remember this, but he had the Finn Balor demon makeup, but it was a pumpkin on his face. And I just remember I threw something at my TV set that night. And that was awful. And I'm glad it didn't happen, because if we would have had a whole match with him in that Pumpkin King outfit, I would have lost my shit. But thankfully, that match didn't happen. No, not thankfully. Bray Wyatt got sick, you know, thoughts and prayers, whatever you want to say. But as a result, we got AJ Styles versus Finn that night, and that was awesome. The other worst thing ever for Halloween, as a tie-in, I'm going to say the zombie apocalypse, which I believe happened with, was it The Miz? Who was it that had the Halloween apocalypse? They had zombies come out from the bottom of the ring. Do you remember this, John?
I don't.
Oh, I'm going to have to look.
Yeah, it was The Miz and... Was it The Miz and Dolph Ziggler? It was a trick-or-treat street fight. Oh, no, that was for a movie tie-in. That was for...
Priest. Damian Priest and The Miz at WrestleMania. Army of the Dead tie-in.
Yeah.
That was horrendous. Why? But, yeah, that was that. How about you? What's a bad...
I mean, I don't know if it counts because I said it already, but the Hogan Warrior Halloween Havoc match, not necessarily anything to do with costumes or anything, but it was the big, I think it was 98 Halloween Havoc. And it just, you know, some of the vignettes leading up to that were, and Hogan, I love Hogan, obviously, you know, the Wayne Gretzky, LeBron of wrestling. I mean, everyone knows that name, even if you don't like wrestling. But his acting is horrible. Because do you remember that one vignette where him and Bischoff are in a locker room and Warrior hologram appears on the screen? He's like, oh! Like, he's like, oh! Like, it's like, dude, you're overacting beyond any level I've seen. And then was the Yeti... Was he a Halloween character? Did he come in around? You know, the Yeti, he was like the, he was dressed in the all, he was like a, in tune, not like a zombie. He was like.
Like a mummy?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a Halloween.
I think so.
But he was so clumsy, and it was almost like the RoboCop scenario where he was tied up, he couldn't move, and then. When he, I think, put his arms around the Undertaker, it was so constricted that he basically was just touching his elbows, and the Undertaker was selling it. Like, oh, my God, this is the most painful. It's clearly nothing was happening. So I'll go with those two.
All right. How about you, John?
I'll probably go with that. The Dolph Ziggler Miz match was the Trick or Street match.
Yeah. There was also the House of Horrors with Bray. Randy Orton. Yeah. But that was terrible too.
Trick or Street, I was like, this is ridiculous. They were hitting each other with pumpkins and candy, and it was just enough. Enough.
Yeah, that House of Horrors with Bray and Randy was the worst as well. A horrible but in a funny way thing that we can watch this weekend if you haven't already, The Undertaker and The New Day. Movie on Netflix.
I'm good.
It's so bad, but it's like it's still entertaining.
I'd rather watch See No Evil again.
I think I'll watch The Marine again, the first one. That was decent because they had the broad from Nip Tuck with the jugs and you know, Robert Patrick. You could stick him in a double anal gangbang and he would be good in it. Like, he's just good in everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like fun, ridiculous things. So go watch that Undertaker New Day thing. It's an interactive movie. You can make choices. And, you know, the Undertaker's haunted house that New Day tried to escape. It's pretty funny. But anyway, that'll do for the news and top stories. Make sure to follow, first and foremost, our sponsors, Pro-Am Belts on Instagram. Make sure to use the promo code 10FF to get 10% off for a fantasy football championship belt of your own choosing. You customize it. They do a tremendous job, as you can see. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous.
It is. You know, me, guys, I don't like anything. This is an amazing... And pictures don't do it justice. This is... No, this is the real deal. It's very heavy. Most comics couldn't wear it because they'd have to carry it.
Yeah.
So go to these guys. Get a belt. Fantasy football is a great idea.
Yeah. You don't want a little trophy. That's garbage. Get a championship belt. 10FF is the promo code, and check them out, Pro Am Belts. Make sure to follow us on social media at Store is War on Twitter, at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast. And Earl, where can they find you?
Just at Earl Skakel on all social media. And I also have my own podcast. Listen to that after this, Inappropriate Earl, which has had some wrestling-based people on it. And if you ever are in L.A., come to the Comedy Store on me. I'll take care of you. Make sure you get VIP treatment, give you a tour of the podcast studios. You can touch the belt, take pictures with it.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah, follow at Comedy Store Studios for John. Follow the Comedy Store, too, while you're at it. Why not? They got shows all the time and funny content on the air, stories and shit. So follow us all. Thank you for all your support. And today I will be doing one of these.